Good morning, and welcome once again to our program. My name is Kyle Webb. I serve as the minister for the Mars Hill Church of Christ that meets in Christiana, Tennessee, and I'm happy to be with you today. Our lesson for today continues the subject of baptism. We've been talking about the importance of baptism, and we've begun going through all the conversions that we find in the book of Acts and how they regard the subject of baptism. Today's lesson in particular is on the conversion of the Samaritans, as we read from the beginning of Acts chapter 8. And we'll use the latter part of Acts chapter 8 as next week's lesson, Lord willing. But before we get into our lesson for today, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you provide us with. We thank you especially for this time that we have to be able to study your word together. And we pray that you would bless our time together. Help us as we study these things to understand what you tell us in your word and to apply these lessons to our lives. And we pray that you would help us to be better Christians and help us to reach others with the gospel. We thank you for your Son, for his sacrifice for our sins, for everything that he means to us. It is through Jesus that we pray. Amen. We begin our study by looking at the context of the lesson for today. The meat of the lesson will begin in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. But just to get the context of what we're reading, we'll begin with verse 1 and read through verse 4. Now Saul was consenting to his death, Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. We read here in these verses that a great persecution scattered the Jews outward from Jerusalem. The apostles had been commanded to carry the gospel message to places other than Jerusalem. We read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, before the day of Pentecost, before we read of the establishment of the church, in Acts chapter 2, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the end of the earth." What they were waiting for is a mystery to us. We don't really understand their reasons for delaying the carrying out of this command, but we see that God's purpose was for the command to be carried out. And this persecution is what led to the command being fulfilled. So maybe this was the push that they needed. Who knows? But for whatever reason, this persecution actually became a good thing. In the face of tragedy, as we look at persecution and their being scattered, the spread of the gospel was begun. Newly converted Christians departed, carrying the gospel message with them. So what seemed to be a bad thing, what seemed to be the destruction of the church, actually made it stronger. When we look at carrying out God's will, we must understand that He will bless. Whatever we are doing, God will bless us in it. Even those things that seem bad will work together for our good. I'm reminded also of the parable of the sower. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and beginning with verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The soil represents the different types of hearts. The one who does not understand. The one who receives the word with joy but is unable to endure temptation. The one who is choked by the cares and pleasures of the world. And the one who receives it and obeys. The seed in the parable is scattered by those going into what we would refer to as the highways and the byways, teaching wherever they go. So as these Christians were divided up and they were scattered to different parts of the world, the seed was also scattered to different hearts, as we read in this parable, but the seed was scattered. And eventually there comes a time of harvest. And I believe that we're in the days of harvest, at least to some degree. We still scatter the seed, but we're also gathering in and bringing to our Lord. So whenever we look at the crop and the harvest and all of that, we see that this is where it begins, is with those being scattered. And as they are being scattered for different reasons and in different ways, they carry the gospel. I have friends, actually, that I know of. They moved to Wisconsin, I believe it was. They were farmers, and so that was a good place for them. And they went into this new state, a new place that was very unfamiliar to them. And one of the things they did while they were there, there was a church that was a little further away from them, but it ended up that they disagreed with the way that the church worshipped, or for whatever the reason was, they began a church in their home. And I remember our preacher going to Wisconsin to be with that family. He spent a week there, and they held a gospel meeting, and the church grew, and it was a wonderful work. And it's a good example of them going somewhere that they were unfamiliar with, and beginning a work in their own community, and the word being spread by it. There are different ways and different reasons that we are scattered, but these things can be used for the good of the kingdom. As we really get into the meat of our lesson, we begin in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And they heeded him, because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. And when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. The Samaritans are an interesting group of people, and we hear them referred to often in Scripture. I think of course, the Good Samaritan. We read of the Good Samaritan and how he was used as an example of what the Jews really should have been. They should have been the good neighbor. They should have been the ones that were willing to help. And yet the priest and the Levite were the ones that passed by, those that we would think of as the most righteous. But the Samaritan was used as an example in that story. Another example that comes to mind is that of the 10 lepers who were healed. And only one came back to thank Jesus. And you know what? He was a Samaritan. The Samaritans, from what we understand, were a mixed race of people. Going back to Babylonian captivity, we see that some Jews, some poor Jews, had been left in the city. And, of course, later on, we see others that had been brought in by the Assyrians when they carried away the northern tribes. So we see that there were certainly a remnant of the Jews that had been left in the city, and there were others that were brought in from other places. And these two intermingled with one another. They married with one another. They had children with one another. And the city of Samaria became a breeding ground, if you will, for this mixed race of people. They were not full-blooded Jews. And so to the Jews, they were considered a heathen people. They weren't God's chosen people because they weren't of a pure bloodline. That was very important to the people back then. Not so much of an importance to us today, but back then, bloodline mattered. And so for them, it mattered. And this group from Samaria, they were not Jews. Though they believed many of the same things as the Jews, they were independent of them, as we read in John chapter 4. They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And we also read that they had their own temple, and they worshipped in Mount Gerizim. Their understanding of prophecy and things of that nature, I'm sure, was to a degree altered. But the basic premise of the Jewish faith was the same in Samaria. There were basic things that they believed that were the same as the Jews. And so they did worship and they did believe in the coming Messiah. As we come into the city and we see what happens here with Philip, he preached Christ to them, as we read in verse 5. And here we read of something that they believed differently. They believed the claims of Simon the sorcerer to be someone great. He had this ability not to perform miracles, but to make it seem as if he was able to perform miracles. Now, what was the difference between the miracles that Philip performed, an ability that was given to him by the laying on of the hands of the apostles, and the things that Simon was able to do, the sleight of hand, the appearance of miracles? What was the difference between the actual miracles and the fake miracles? Whatever the difference was, and we're not told specifically what that was, but whatever the difference was, we see that the people could tell the difference. They had believed Simon for years, for an extended period of time. And now Philip comes in, and he's able to perform actual miracles. And they're astonished by them. They're amazed by what he is able to do in comparison with what Simon was able to do. Philip preached unto them the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, as we read in verse 12. By inference, we can understand that Philip taught them what they needed to know. He taught them about the establishment of the church. We read of that in Acts chapter 2. Going back to Jerusalem, to its beginnings on the day of Pentecost, we see that Peter preached a message to the people, and a great many people believed, and they became Christians. And I'm sure that part of Philip's message had something to do with the establishment of the church and the events of that day. He preached unto them the kingdom of God. And I'm sure he taught them the same thing that Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says that he said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I'm sure that all these things were part of Philip's message, whatever he had to say. We see the different parts of Scripture can be used in different ways. We'll see next week, Lord willing, as we look at the latter part of Acts chapter 8, how Philip was able to use a message from the book of Isaiah to preach to the eunuch the gospel. All of these things must have been taught because the people believed. They obeyed the gospel, including Simon himself. He also obeyed the gospel. We see here in this scripture that those who believed are described as men and women. Go back to verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Is there any significance to the fact that men and women were obedient to the gospel? Notice here who is not included in this number. Children and infants are not mentioned in this passage. And rightly so. Children and infants as well are not able to understand the message of the gospel. There are instances where I've seen or heard of children that have obeyed the gospel, or at least they have been baptized. And later in life, they admit that they didn't completely understand what they were doing. They understood that baptism was an important thing. And they understood from their teachings that that's something that they needed to do. But when they obeyed the gospel, or at least when they were baptized, they didn't completely understand its importance and significance. You see, children are not able to understand completely what is being taught. They're not always able to understand, even though they understand that baptism is something that they need to do, they're not able to understand the true meaning of it. So we need to be very careful in how we teach young people the gospel, that we don't force on them something that they're not ready to obey. We want them to obey, and sometimes that hinders them. If they obey at the wrong time, sometimes that can be a hindrance to them later in life because they think, "Well, I've already been baptized," and they see no need of it in later life. So we need to be very careful to teach them, yes, that baptism is an important thing. It is something that they need to do. However, it's something that they need to do at the right time when they understand its meaning. I remember, just for an example here, when I obeyed the gospel, I was 14, but I remember that my dad and I had a good conversation about the meaning of baptism and what it meant to me to become a Christian, why I needed to be baptized. Not just that I need to be baptized, but why I needed to be baptized. He wanted me to understand the importance of it before I actually went through with it. And I'm glad that he did. I obeyed for the right reason, for the remission of sins, and I understood that. So whenever we teach people, we need to understand that we need to make sure that they're able to understand the meaning of what they're doing. Not just baptize them, but make sure that they understand completely the meaning of what they're doing. So no children or infants are included in this number because they couldn't understand. They couldn't obey for the right reason. But baptism was important. Whatever Philip taught the people, he taught them the importance of baptism. And that's what I want to point out in this lesson today, that baptism is important. As we conclude our lesson today, let's notice that anyone of the mind and understanding can be taught the gospel and obey it. Christians are given the command to go into all the world, to go to all nations, preaching the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus spoke initially to the apostles. This command was given to them, and later to us as well. But he spoke to them and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Though the Samaritans were looked down upon for not being full-blooded Jews, this people, they were basically rejected by those who were full-blooded Jews. Well, they can't understand. They can't be God's chosen people. They were looked down upon by those who were initially God's chosen people. But they deserved to hear the gospel. And when they did, they obeyed it. We never need to look down upon people for one reason or another. We never need to look at somebody and think that they're not worthy of receiving the gospel, because they are. All people that can understand it need to hear the gospel so that they can obey it. We remember going back to Acts chapter 1. There's a passage in there that talks about there is a time where the Jews were God's chosen people. They received the gospel first, but then it was carried to the Gentiles as well. All people deserve to hear the gospel. The Samaritans were no different in that regard. Baptism was important to the plan. The Samaritans had not yet been saved because they had not yet obeyed the gospel. But after hearing what must be done, they were willing to do what they'd been taught, including baptism. If baptism wasn't important, why were they baptized? Many people teach today that baptism is not important to the plan of salvation, but it is. And we need to see its importance, and we need to teach its importance to those who are willing to obey the gospel. I hope this lesson has been helpful to you. I hope that baptism is something that you have done, that you have fully obeyed the gospel, repenting of your past sins, changing your life, confessing Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Those things are all important. And if you've not obeyed the gospel, if you see the need for doing that, I pray that you would contact a Church of Christ near you. Contact us. You can go on the website and see how to contact us. We'd be glad to help you in that regard. But we hope that you would obey the gospel if you haven't already done so. Join us next week as we study another portion of God's Word together. And until we meet again, may God bless you.